Well, we are going to be continuing and concluding today and next Sunday, not next Sunday, 2 weeks from today, my next turn on Sunday morning, our series on the fruit of the Spirit. We hope that it's been helpful to you in some way as we think about some of these different qualities that the Apostle Paul talks about here as being bring the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, the American Standard says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof." This word that's translated meekness in the American Standard is translated gentleness in most of the versions. In the American Standard and in the Old King James Version and in Young's Literal Translation, they use the term meekness. As we said, most of the other newer translations, the New King James and the ESV and the American Standard and Holman, Christian Standard Version, all use the word gentleness. And I think that's because certainly the idea of gentleness is involved in this word, but we'll notice in a moment why we think it may not be the best word, but you can decide about that. But we'll talk about this word meekness and what it implies and what we learn from it. One of the tricks as we think about this word meekness is the fact that in the English, the word meekness often has a negative connotation, at least in modern English. And so I took this from a couple of different English dictionaries. In English, the word meekness is translated in the modern language as humbly patient or docile, as under provocation from others, overly submissive or compliant, spiritless or tame. It goes on, the adjective meek describes a person who is willing to go along with whatever other people want to do, like a meek classmate who won't speak up even when he or she is treated unfairly. And so oftentimes in the modern English, the word meekness or a meek individual is describing an individual who is overly submissive or compliant, a person who is spiritless or tame. We would say a wallflower, a Casper milquetoast, one that's afraid of their own shadow, one who is afraid to stand up for themselves, as he says in the definition, like a meek classmate who won't speak up even if they're treated unfairly. And so oftentimes in the modern language, in the modern English, this word meek does not have a good connotation to it. If someone were to say that person's a little meek like a mouse individual, we would not think that was a good thing. But we will notice as we think about the Greek definition that that's certainly not the way the term meekness was used in the Bible. And as we will see in a moment, Moses was said to be meek, and Jesus was said to be meek. And so nothing negative there at all. The word that's the Greek word that's translated meekness. Thayer says gentleness or mildness. Arden Gingrich says gentleness, humility, courtesy, considerateness. And meek in some of those versions. Gentle. Humble. All good qualities. But still, maybe it doesn't get to the heart for us as to the idea of this word meek, as at least it was found in the original language. Barclay, William Barclay, in his commentary says, "To meekness belongs the ability to bear reproaches and slights with moderation, and not to embark on revenge quickly, and not to be easily provoked to answer, but to be free from all bitterness and contentiousness, having tranquility and stability in the spirit." I know it's hard to remember all of these statements and definitions, but as we tie these together, what we're going to know is that meekness does have this quality, this ability to bear reproaches or to bear slights with moderation. It doesn't mean the individual is weak, but it means that even under provocation, they're able to bear up under it. Now, they really are strong. There's strength there, Even they may be gentle and they may be mild. Plato, also quoted by William Barclay, said, Plato illustrates meekness with a trained watchdog who bravely is hostile to strangers and is gently friendly to those with whom he is familiar. I kind of like that. I think it needs a little bit of modification as we look more at some other examples, but I think that's a good starting place. I like Barclay's comment about a domesticated animal, and I've used this illustration before, so if you remember this, please forgive me for using it again, but I think it hits right at the heart of what meekness is. Barclay uses the example of meekness, and he says it was used this way in the ancient language, of a domesticated animal, whether it be an ox or a horse. An untrained animal is strong, but is wild. You think about a horse, or you think about an ox, or some animal that has to be trained to pull a plow, or to pull an ox, to pull a cart of some kind. And before the animal is trained, the animal's strong, but it's wild. It's not under the control of the master. And so there's strength there, but the strength is not under control. But once the animal has been domesticated, once the animal has been broken, the animal is still strong, but he obeys the leadership of the master. Once he has been trained, the horse is still strong, but now he could be used. He could not be ridden before, but now he can be ridden. He could not pull a plow before, but now he listens to what the master says. And when you pull on the reins, he stops. When you pull him to the right, he turns right. When you pull him to the left, he goes left. He listens to what the master says. He submits to the leadership of the master. He's still strong, he's still powerful, but it's power under control. And so I like that definition. That's where the idea of gentleness comes in. But it's gentleness that's connected with strength. And so, as we said a moment ago, that definition of translating the word instead of meek, translating it gentle, is not a bad translation. The idea of gentleness is there. But it's more than just gentleness. It's strength under control. It's being strong. It's being powerful like that horse or like that ox. But it's the powerful horse or ox that is listening to the leading of the master, who does what the master wants and therefore can be useful. That which was not useful before can now be useful to the master. Strength under control. And so, as we said, there's some illustrations in the scripture of individuals who were said to be meek. And we see this definition played out in these illustrations. Moses was said to be the meekest man. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 3 says, Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men that were upon the face of the earth. And so Moses was said to be meek, but he certainly wasn't weak. Meek, but not weak. He was extremely strong. You think about the strength of Moses. And you think about his leadership qualities and listening to God. And so here is Moses who is leading 2 million, 3 million, 4 million. We have no idea how many there were. There were 600,000 men of fighting age in Israel that were numbered when they went into the wilderness. 600,000. If there is a one wife and one child for every one of those men, and there were probably more than that, that would be 1.8 million. There was at least 2 million. Some have said 2.5, 3 million in Israel when they came out of Egypt. And here is Moses that is given the task of leading this group of griping, complaining, bumbling Israelites into the wilderness. Was he weak? Was he with Casper Milk Toast? Was he one that was afraid of his own shadow? Not the least. He was strong. He was of strong character, one of the strongest characters we can find in Scripture. And yet he was submissive and humble. He made his mistakes, and we see him making his mistakes. But as a general pattern against, once again, as he is spoken of in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, in that list of the heroes of faith, Moses was a great man of faith. He was a great man of strength. He was a great leader for Israel. He was chosen especially for that role. And so, not weak, but he was meek. Jesus was said to be meek. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus said himself, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Jesus himself says, "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Was Jesus weak? We know better. We know better. You think about the strength of our Lord as he was willing to submit to the will of the Father. Strong yet submissive. In John chapter 6, verse 38, we see Jesus talking about his submission to the Father. "For I am come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." What was his secret? What was his secret? Well, I don't know that I can tell you for sure. But I believe that Jesus was, he says several times, his submission to the will of the Father. He trusted in the Father. He leaned upon the Father. He was constantly going to the Father in prayer. As he lived in this life, as he faced temptations, as he faced trials, was he weak? Absolutely not. He was a man of character and strength, of all men that lived upon the face of the earth. And yet his attitude of submission to the will of the Father and listening to the Father and going to the Father. And that's the example that we need to follow. And so strength. Strength. Sometimes life takes strength, doesn't it? We have to be strong. We have to do that. It's sometimes hard to do the Lord's will. It's sometimes hard to obey God. It was sometimes hard for Moses to obey. It was sometimes hard for David to obey. You name the great people of the Old Testament that are mentioned there in Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham and Noah. And Moses, and we go up and down the line of the different ones that are mentioned in that great chapter, and others that are not mentioned. And the writer admits there's others that are not mentioned. "Time would fail me," he says, "if I spoke of Gideon and Barak and Samson, Jephthah, David, and the prophets." There are many more that he could have spoken of, great prophets. But their strength was their submissiveness to God. When they had strength, it was because they trusted in God. They leaned upon God. And that's the meek spirit. I think that's the key to meekness, is strength under control. Strength that leans upon God. One who is strong because of their submissiveness, their humility, and their submissiveness, and their gentleness. But it all comes from listening to God and submitting unto God and doing His will. And yet Jesus, as we said, was strong. In John chapter 2, he cast the sellers of animals and the money changers out of the temple. In Matthew chapter 23, his denunciation of the Pharisees and the scribes. In 1 Peter chapter 2, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. You think about the strength and the self-control that took. When he was reviled, reviled not again. But when he was suffered, threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Well, let's learn some lessons about meekness that we can apply. If we think about the definition, we see these examples of what meekness was. First one we want to notice is meekness is the spirit with which we receive the Word of God. The passage that was read to us by Justin, James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. There the author James says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul." Here we see the author James says, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. We need to listen to that. We need to be quick to hear the Word of God. We need to be slow to speak. Someone says, that's why you have two ears and only one mouth. two ears and one mouth. You should be listening twice as much as you're speaking. And oftentimes it's reversed for us, isn't it? Be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. Anger, a man doesn't produce righteousness. Put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. We need to receive God's word with meekness. That combination of strength and that combination of humility, that combination of gentleness. How do we receive the word of God? Sometimes the receiving of the word of God is difficult. How do we react when we're confronted with something that's different than what we have learned before? Something that we have been previously instructed about. Something that we previously believed. We have in life, and we're raised with certain ideas and certain beliefs and certain fundamental principles that we believe in. And yet we come along in life and we open up God's Word and we learn something that's different than what I was taught before. Something that is different than mommy and daddy taught me. Something different than the preacher of the old church I went to taught me. How am I going to react when I am confronted with things that are different than I previously believed? Am I going to become angry? I've known of people that get angry. When we sit down and study God's Word with them and talk to them about God's Word, and we open up God's Word and we begin to talk about what the Bible says, and they become angry about that. Or do they just reject it? Do we just reject it? Do we just turn away? How are we at receiving information that is different than what we have believed previously and before? Do we receive it with humility and with strength? It sometimes takes strength. It takes a lot of strength. It takes strength of character. Just look at a couple of examples. Baptism for the remission of sins. There are many, many churches throughout our country who do not teach the necessity of baptism. They believe that you're saved at the point of faith. You're saved when you just accept Jesus as your personal Savior, or you take Jesus into your heart. And yet they have rejected what the Bible teaches about baptism. Acts 2, verse 38, on the day of Pentecost, Peter told that crowd, when they asked men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit. And so sometimes when people are confronted with this, they become angry, or they become upset, or they just push it away because it's different than what they have been taught. In Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus, when he gave the Great Commission, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. In Romans 6, verses 1 through 6, there we see Paul's teaching about baptism. And he's really challenging the audience that he's writing to. And they're all Christians. They're all ones who have done this sometime in the past. But he's reminding them what they had done. They had been buried with him in baptism and raised to walk a new life. He's challenging them because he wants them to understand they just can't continue in sin. They just can't continue to live the way they had lived before. And so he challenges them to realize and to understand and to remember what they had done when they had been baptized. They had been buried in baptism, raised to a new life. Now live that new life. That's the message of the Apostle Paul there. Live that new life. Live for him. Put away the old. That's the figure of baptism. You were forgiven. At that point of going into the water, you were forgiven and you were raised to a new life. Or what about some of the sexual sins? And this is just one that we could mention, but there's many, many more. But we think about the world that is round about us today. How do people react when they read God's Word? How do you react when you read God's Word? We specifically mentioned, of course, upon here, homosexuality from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, because that's becoming more and more common, of course, in our society, and it's pushed more and more upon us. But it's not just that. Any sin that is against God is sin. A man and woman living together outside of marriage, that is sin. That's called adultery or fornication. The Bible condemns adultery or fornication. How do people react when we try to lovingly and gently teach them God's Word and try to show them what the Bible has to say about these sexual sins? How are we going to receive it? And then so these kind of examples remind us, divorce in our world today, divorce is so common. So common, yet the Bible speaks to it. Jesus spoke to it in Matthew chapter 19. The one who puts away his wife except for fornication and marries another commits adultery. It's very straightforward to understand. How are we going to react with, and these are just three examples of many more that we could give as we think about God's Word and how often it is so different than the things that people have been taught in the culture around about us. How are we going to respond to it? How are you going to respond to it? When you read God's Word, no matter what the subject is, it could be divorce. It could be sexual sins. It could be baptism if you haven't done that yet. It could be any number of teachings of Christ that we find recorded in the New Testament about your attitudes, about your anger. Anger is a problem with people. How do we respond when we read God's Word and it says it tells us not to be angry? Well, that doesn't apply to me. How do we respond when we read things and see things and hear things in God's Word which hit close to home to you, whatever your sin is, whatever your personal struggle is? Receive with meekness, James says. Receive with meekness the implanted Word. That word meekness is the idea of strength under control. I have to be strong. I have to be strong. If I'm in sin, I need to turn away from it. That may mean making changes in my life. That may mean making changes in my life. If I'm living with my girlfriend and I find out that is sinful, I need to change that. I need to either get married if we have a right to get married, or I need to quit living in that way until I find someone who will marry me. But don't keep living in that situation. If I'm living the life of homosexuality, I need to stop living that way. If I'm living with someone divorced and I'm married to someone I have no right scripturally to be married to, I need to make that change. Why? Because it takes strength. I want to do what's right. I want to go to heaven. And that's hard. That's hard. But that's what meekness is making the hard decisions. Meekness is strength under control. Being submissive to the will of God, but having the strength to make the changes that I need to make. Secondly, meekness is the spirit with which we answer the outsider. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Peter says, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks to give you an account for the hope that is within you, yet with meekness and reverence." He says, sanctify Christ in your hearts and be ready always to make a defense. As Christians, we should always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you. If someone asks you to answer for the hope that is in you, we need to be ready to make a defense. I may not always have the answer to everything. I may have to tell people sometimes I need to go back to my Bible and find the answer to that. But I need to be preparing myself to do the best I can to give a reason for the hope that's in me. You should be able to give a reason for your hope. Why are you a Christian? Why are you living the way you are? Give a reason for your hope. But notice what is in getting to this word here. I put the word from the New American Standard is gentleness and reverence. The New American Standard says meekness and fear. This is our same Greek word for meekness. When I answer someone, when I give an answer for my hope, I need to do it with meekness. Remember our definition, strength under control. I need to be strong. I need to be strong. When someone asks me for the reason for my hope, when someone asks me a Bible question, I may understand that they're not going to agree with me. And sometimes, if I know someone's not going to agree with me, or I think there's a chance I might be hurting their feelings by the answer that I'm going to give, I may soften it a little bit. Don't do that. Now do it with gentleness. Do it nicely. Do it properly. But tell them the truth. Don't shade the truth. Don't trim away the truth. Don't make soft the truth. Don't try to apologize for what God said. Do it with strength. The strength of truth, the strength of God's word. Do it with gentleness. Do it with love. But if you're teaching someone about baptism and you're trying to show them what the Bible teaches about baptism, and they say, well, do you think that I need to be baptized? No, you're probably all right. No, you're probably you don't want to hurt their feelings. Well, no, that's not what you could say. That's not answering with strength. We have to, I love you, friend, but this is what the Bible says. You read it. What do you think it says? What conclusion would you come to after reading it? And so as we make our defense, as we talk to our friends, as we talk to our neighbors, we need to do it with gentleness and with reverence towards God. Thirdly of all, meekness is the spirit in which we face opposition. Sometimes we're going to face opposition. Sometimes we may get honest questions, as we were just talking about. We may be talking to a friend or a neighbor, and they have questions and they're studying. But there, we may be talking to someone who's already made up their mind, and their mind is strongly opposed to us. And they're upset, and they're angry, and they don't like what we're doing. They don't like what we're saying. And Paul writes to Timothy here, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Lord's bondservant, but must not be quarrelsome. Don't go around being quarrelsome. Don't go around looking for a fight. But be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. There are going to be some in opposition. Don't go looking for a fight, but be with gentleness correcting those. That's our word meekness again. That the New American Standard says gentleness, but the American Standard says meekness. It's the same Greek word. Here is someone who's opposing you. You don't go looking for a fight, but go preaching the truth. Be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong. When someone wrongs you, you be patient, and you be loving, and you be kind. But with meekness, correcting those who are opposed. You do it with strength, kindly and with love, but you do it with strength. You show them what God's Word says. And you stand there. Stand fast. We talked last week about faithfulness and standing steadfast. You plant yourself in God's Word and you stay there. You don't leave it. You don't chicken out. You don't make it soft. In love, preach the truth. Paul says in Ephesians, it's on our bulletin. I like that phrase, speaking truth in love. I leave it on there all the time because I like it. That's what we should be doing, speaking truth in love. Being firm, being meek, being strong, opposing those, correcting those who are in opposition. Number four, meekness is the spirit with which we interact with one another. Again, there's a passage, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthily of the calling wherein you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This passage is talking about our interactions with one another in the body. And Paul says, as the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you. He was sitting in prison at this time. As the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you to walk worthily of your calling. They have been called to live in Christ. Paul says, walk worthily of that calling with all lowliness and meekness. Be humble. Lowliness, but meekness. Strength under control. Gentleness, yes, but meekness. Like that domesticated animal, strength under control, strong but gentle, submissive to the will of the Father. With all lowliness and meekness, as we bear with one another, we need to be long-suffering, we need to be forgiving of one another, we need to be diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit. Remember, truth is at stake. Truth is more important. Truth is the most important. We must be preaching the truth, obeying the truth the very best that we can. And as we deal with one another, there's going to be disagreements. There's going to be people sometimes that don't act the way they should. There may be preachers that don't act the way they should. Brent may misbehave. R. Wilson. People don't always act the way they should act, and we need to be bearing with one another and loving with one another and caring about one another and helping one another and supporting one another, but we need to do it with meekness. We don't need to be giving in to a brother. Sometimes the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Sometimes we bend over backwards when sometimes we need to say, brother, you're not acting right. There was a brother in the church when I first started preaching. I was still wet behind the ears and I had no idea how to handle him. But he was an explosion. He was a volcano ready to go off at any moment. And everyone just kind of tiptoed around him, not wanting to offend him. Something was said in a business meeting he didn't like. He just went off like a volcano. And his anger just flew all over the place. Now I'm a 25-year-old kid and I have no idea how to handle him. I know what I'd do now with God's help. I'd say, brother, you need to get your anger under control. You're tearing up this congregation. People are walking around you like walking on hot coals, afraid to offend you. Because this is the way you react. You think with your anger you can just get your way. Anytime you explain, everybody just backs off. Now, someone needs to sit down sometimes when people misbehave. Sometimes people need to sit down and say, this is not right. We have to stand on the truth here and do what is right here. And sometimes people need to be corrected, but we need to do it in love. We need to do it with meekness, with strength under control, with love and with patience with one another, caring about one another, wanting each other to go to heaven. And so give diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And lastly of all, meekness is the spirit with which we restore the unfaithful. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul says, brethren, even if you are caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Again, that's the word meekness in the American Standard, in the old King James. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. If someone's caught up in a trespass, Paul tells us to go to them. And to, in a spirit of love, implied in meekness, a spirit of gentleness, a spirit of meekness, strength under control. Again, we have to be strong. When a brother or sister is in sin and they've been caught up in a trespass, that's not always easy to do. It's not easy to do. Here's someone who has been in our congregation, someone who has been a faithful Christian, but suddenly now something has gone wrong in their life. And they're not living right. They've quit the church. They've quit the Lord. They're maybe left a husband or wife. I've known of those situations, and they're just off in the world. And they were our friends, and we used to hug them when they came to the assembly, but now they're gone. And we need to go and sit down with that person. We need to appeal to them to do what's right. And those are not easy conversations. It takes strength. Believe me, I've been there. In a spirit of meekness, restore such a one. Seek to restore such a one. With love, with patience, with strength, yet with gentleness. We go to that brother and sister and we say, brother, your life, you're getting off track here. You're off the rails. Your life is not right before God. I don't know what's going on here. I don't know what's happening here. But we want to help you in any way that we can to get it corrected and get it back and to make it right, because your soul is at stake. And so those conversations aren't easy, but those conversations are necessary. Meekness. Meekness. It affects so many things. The word impacts so many different relationships. Not weakness. Not spiritlessness. Not being overly docile and tame. But strength under control. Like the domesticated animals. Now strong. Still strong. but under control of the master. We need to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, and we need to be under the control of the master, doing his will, listening to him, obeying him, seeking him in our lives. Let us grow in this important quality of meekness. If you need to obey the gospel today, we hope that you'll be meek. We hope you'll be strong in rejecting whatever you need to reject that's in your life. The sin that's in your life. The misunderstandings in your life. And come to the Lord. Come to Jesus. And obey him. Seek him by being baptized into Christ, living for him, seeking him each and every day that you live upon this earth. If we can assist or help anyone today in any way, let us know. All together we stand and while we sing.